I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Sunny Shabro, founder of the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation, which is currently holding their 10th annual Munchies for the Military donation drive. Sunny created the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation to honor her son, Doug, after he was killed in action in Afghanistan in 2011. Sunny, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, Heather, thank you so much for having me again today.
So what exactly does the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation do?
Well, we send care packages, and I'm kind of backing up a little bit and tell you a little bit of the backstory. After my son was killed in action, I knew that the best way to honor him was to do what he loved. And what specialist Douglas J. Green loved was getting care packages sent to him when he was deployed on his two tours. So from a month after he passed, which was 2011, we've been sending care packages throughout the whole 10 years. And we send them all over to all the men and women that are deployed right now overseas.
Wow, that's incredible. So what exactly was it that he loved so much about these care packages?
Well, you can imagine, you just pick your favorite food, your favorite snacks. And let me tell you, Doug had his favorite food, his favorite snacks. And it was those big, hard Snyder pretzels. And, you know, he loved gum and he loved the gummy bears and the Sour Patch Kids and basically, you know, kind of junk food, things that you just can't get when you're in the middle of nowhere. And him and his unit, they were in the middle of nowhere. And so he would request wipes, certain toothpaste, and they would run out of toothbrushes. And we made sure he had all that. And, you know, he loved getting them. And he loved sharing them with all of his brothers, as he called them, that he served with, because he wanted to make sure that his friends that he was serving with, that they also could enjoy all these snacks as well. Because a lot of these families, it's a hardship to afford to send these care packages, to fill them and to, you know, send them to their loved ones. So I wanted to always make sure that him and his friends that he was serving with had enough. And when I would put all those snacks that he wanted in these care packages, he would open up the box and be so excited. And it was not so much, of course, getting what he wanted, but it represented that we haven't forgotten about him, that we knew he was over there. And the box kind of represented, you know, the USA, that it's home. And it's such a comfort to them when they receive these boxes, truly.
That's awesome. Okay, so what is Munchies for the Military?
So Munchies for the Military is an event that we've been doing for 10 years. And we do one of big giant events here in the Las Vegas Valley. And this year, again, we're partnering up with Inspirata. They are awesome. That community just shows up and just really helps us get the donations going. We're also partnering up with the city of Henderson. And they have, I think, a little over 8 locations that they are collecting donations all over the valley, just so we can bring these donations to the care packing event. And that's what we put in the boxes, are all these donations that people have been dropping off at these locations. Also, at all the Humana locations across the valley, too, they are also collecting donations as well for us.
Nice. Okay. So how many care packages are you planning to send out from this current 10th annual Munchies for the Military drive?
Well, our goal is, and that we actually have met it every year, is 500 care packages. And, you know, that's where the community comes in. We need everybody to drop off donations at the Henderson locations. If you'd like to know where the locations are, it's on the Inspirata.com website. And again, it's the community that helps us get to this goal of 500 care packages. And they seem to always come through for us. They really get it, this Las Vegas Valley. They've been so supportive for the last 10 years to the Munchies for the Military donation drive.
So you mentioned that Doug's friends absolutely loved when he got the care packages and they got to share what was in them. Now, what about the active duty military men and women that are receiving care packages over the years from the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation and the Munchies for the Military drive? What do they say about them?
Well, you know, they will never forget that we sent them care packages. You know, it just warms my heart. And some of them actually show up to our events, especially the ones that we have sent to, that the ones that were based out of Nellis. And it's so heartwarming, actually, when you go on our website, too, and you can see some of the testimonials from some of these men and women and pictures of them receiving our care packages. And, you know, you ask them, what do you remember about your deployment? Well, they try not to remember the bad stuff, and they try to remember the good stuff. And the good stuff is that their friends and loved ones didn't forget about them, and they sent them care packages.
That's so nice.
It is. It's just so heartwarming when, you know, when you hear their testimonies afterward, they come back and they reach out to us on our Facebook and our website, and they thank us. It's just heartwarming, truly.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned that community members can drop off their donations, but what are some of the items that are most wanted in these care packages?
Sure. Well, they love the wipes. Sometimes they cannot get into a shower. Sometimes they can't take a shower for a couple days. We have a lot of women deployed right now. We have over 160,000 men and women deployed all over. We're sending to Eastern Europe, Asia, Japan, Middle East. And of course, there's so many on ships right now. And, you know, women's hygiene is always good because a lot of times they need that, especially the wipes. So we kind of think out of the box for the women too. We can't forget about them. And the men need the hygiene products too. People think, you know, doesn't the government pay for that? Or don't they pay for the care packages? And sadly, no, they don't. So we pay for everything, and we pay to fill the boxes, and we pay to ship the boxes. And if you can't make it to drop off donations, you can always go to our website, and we'd love to take a monetary donation as well, which is tax deductible, and it pays for our care packages. And if you go on our website, there's actually a drop down, and it says sponsor a box for $20. And it's so easy to do, and it really helps us get those care packages over to our men and women.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, so wipes, women's hygiene products. What about the snacks? You mentioned that Doug really liked receiving the snacks. So which ones are the best for sending overseas?
Well, he always liked beef jerky, sunflower seeds, gum, things that he can also put in his pocket when they're on patrol, when they can't get back to their base. You know, you think of candy and snacks that they can eat on the run. We like to do the electrolytes powder to put in their water because they really need that. And honestly, I always make sure that I put chapstick in these care packages and sunscreen because it can be really hot over there. So we want to make sure they get the protection that they need as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now, the drop-off locations, you said that they can find them on the Inspirata.com website?
Correct. And I believe the city of Henderson as well. And they can also go to the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation.org, which is DJGMF.org. And they can look at the locations there. They can actually look at the, you know, all what's happening that day, where it is, of course, Liberty High School. We always do it at Liberty High School because those students are amazing and the volunteers are just so willing to help out. And they really orchestrate a very smooth care packet event every year. And some of these kids also that go to Liberty High School that show up, they have family members that are deployed right now. So they're customizing boxes for their family and loved ones as well. And, you know, again, anybody that has a family, friend, loved one that is deployed, you can show up and customize a box for them. You can go on our website and drop down to please send a box to my loved one. And we have never said no to anyone. We will send them whatever they want.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, let's clarify. So there's a few things going on that the community can get involved with. First of all, through April 15th, they can drop off their donations at the various locations, which is on the Inspirata.com website under events, but it includes various locations in Inspirata, around Henderson. So we've got City Hall, various senior centers, aquatic centers, rec centers. We've got all the Humana locations, Amazon, various various schools and all of those places people can drop off their physical donations. So the things we were talking about, the snacks, the wipes, the hygiene products, all of those can be dropped off. And if they'd rather make a monetary donation, they can do that online at the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation website, djgmf.org. And or they can also become a volunteer and help to pack up all of these care packages and assemble them to be ready to be shipped overseas. And what day does that happen?
Absolutely. So that's going to be April 20th. And again, it's at 1 o'clock and it's very fast. I mean, it usually goes for about an hour because there's so many people that show up and it's such a smooth operation that it goes by in maybe an hour, hour and a half. And, you know, we invite all ages. You're never too young and you're never too old to volunteer. And if you have donations and you've missed the deadline, you're always welcome to bring your donations with you that day, and we will put them out and we'll make sure they get into the care packages as well.
Awesome. Okay. So they can drop them off at the various locations until the 15th, and then the packing event's on the 20th. So between the 15th and the 20th, don't drop them off at Humana or City Hall, but you can bring them to Liberty High School on the day, April 20th at 1 p.m.
Exactly. Absolutely. And, you know, we'll have a table there for the kids to come and write thank you notes to these men and women. And we put those also in the care packages because, you know, when they open up these boxes, the first thing they see are the cards that are written mostly by all the students across the valley. And let me tell you, they love those cards. They put them up in their barracks and it means so much to them. They read every card and they love the pictures and the kids love doing it as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do they need to sign up to take part in the assembly day on April 20th or just show up at Liberty High School?
No, good question. No, they just show up, try to be on time, exactly at 1 o'clock, and it starts very promptly. And nope, you just come and you just start stuffing the care packages. And it's so much fun. And we have these volunteers that come year after year after year. It's just so rewarding to do it. And again, we welcome your whole family, friends, kids, and seniors. They're all welcome.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. So once again, the 10th annual Munchies for the Military Drive is happening right now. You can drop off your items for donation to the care packages. So they're looking for wipes, women's hygiene products, beef jerky, sunflower seeds, gum, electrolytes, chapsticks, sunscreen, all of that kind of stuff. Any non-perishable snacks would be great. And you can drop off those at any of the locations that are listed on Inspirata.com under the events tab. So we've got a bunch of different places in Inspirata. We've got the West Henderson Library. We've got the Solista Community Center. Then we've got all the Humana locations. We've got Amazon. We've got Ellis Elementary, Del Webb Middle School, Liberty High School, and Pinecrest Academy. Also, a bunch of locations at City of Henderson. So we've got City Hall, the Downtown Senior Center, Heritage Park Senior Center. We've got Whitney Ranch, Black Mountain Rec Center. Now, if you'd rather just make a monetary donation, $20 sponsors a care package. You can do that online at the Douglas J. Memorial Foundation website, djgmf.org, stands for Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation, djgmf.org. And also while you're there, you'll see Doug's story. You can read more about him, find out more about the foundation and the Munchies for the Military donation drive. And then if you want to help assemble the care packages, that's happening on Saturday, April 20th at 1 p.m. in the Liberty High School lunchroom. Be there on time and you'll be there for about an hour quickly packing up all of these 500 care packages that they're then going to send overseas to the men and women who are deployed overseas right now and just love getting these care packages so much. And Sunny, this is such an incredible thing that you do every year. 10 years, I can't imagine the number of lives that you're really just making their day when they receive these care packages. So I really appreciate you being here and letting us know more about the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation, about your son and how he contributed to the world and how his memory continues to contribute to the world and how the community can get involved in helping out as well. So thank you so much for your time today, Sunny.
Oh, Heather, thank you so much for having us on. And it's so heartwarming what this community does. And it's so supportive of all the nonprofits around this town. And I was going to also add, if you happen to live in Summerlin or on that side of town, you don't have to go all the way to Henderson. You could go to some of the Humana locations that are actually in Summerlin as well. Just didn't want to forget about the other side of town, right?
Yeah. So Henderson and Inspirata are helping sponsor the event. But, you know, the whole Valley, we welcome your donations as well.
Absolutely. But Heather, thank you so much for highlighting our event this year. We really appreciate that.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Woody Worthington, Director of National Partnerships for Green Our Planet. Green Our Planet is one of the largest and most comprehensive school garden and hydroponics programs in the country, and they've got another giant student farmers market coming up for Earth Day. Woody, thank you so much for being here today.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Heather. I appreciate it. It's such an amazing opportunity to get the students and the kids and schools together. We're super excited. I think we got it figured out. A little controlled chaos. You know how that goes.
Yeah. I gotta love the controlled chaos.
Exactly.
So I kind of mentioned it at a high level, but for those who aren't familiar with the organization, what exactly is Green Our Planet?
Green Our Planet is amazing. We're actually building a movement to create joy and justice in our communities by empowering people to grow food and connecting them to the universe that we have. But let's bring the kids into it. Our communities, by increasing student academics, performance in STEM, food and nutrition, and all the important stuff, and supporting them. So how do we do that, right? So we educate the teachers and we get the teachers involved by teaching them, the kids, to be involved, project-based learning, nutrition, financial literacy, farmers market, right? They got to learn how to sell their products and their produce. And then it really just, unbeknownst to the kids, they're engaged. They're doing, you know, sales, they're doing marketing, and this whole community connection is super, super amazing. And that engagement, I tell you, I talk to teachers all the time and they're like, the kids are wanting to stay back from recess or after school to work with hydroponics or the gardens to really connect.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a lot of great benefits from a relatively simple concept. You know, it's school gardens and hydroponics, and it achieves all of that. How exactly does all of this come from just a little desire to grow plants and produce?
Yeah, so that food stuff's kind of important, isn't it? Don't you know? I mean, going through the pandemic, we kind of realized our assurance, our reliability on people that were our neighbors and stuff to bring food in. But how do we connect that to the kids? So what we do here at Green Our Planet, we are the largest school garden in STEM curriculum, as well as HydroConnect, which is our hydroponics. So we basically build those programs. We have a program and we have a super amazing opportunity in Nevada through the ARPA grant. We're being able to support school sites with these programs, the HydroConnect programs, to help the kids connect on that level. Our curriculum is super amazing. Our co-founders, can't leave them out, Kim and Kira, saw a need. They were filmmakers back in the day, philanthropists, and said, man, what can we do to really get people connected to the food source and be connected to the environment? And they had an opportunity to take a look at school gardens, and they're like, man, this is a need that we need to really do and connect in food and nutrition too as well. So it grew from there. And 10 years later, we are here today with a full program. It's a start to finish. My wife's a sixth grade science teacher. So Teachers don't have time. Trust me. They are like, oh, not another program. I have to teach, you know, I already have to teach my standards. But this program is amazing because of the filmmakers that Kim and Kara bring in that curriculum. And it's just, it's super exciting. And it really connects financial literacy to food and nutrition, the importance of the environment, sustainability, and how it all ties together in and of itself with this hydroponics in school gardens. And it's really, really awesome and totally rad for the kids because they get connected. Because kids are connected, as you and I both know, to the internet and all that. But when they connect to nature and really connect it on that level, then it just builds a wonderful community and going forward with that.
Wow, that's awesome. So you mentioned that it started 10 years ago. Kira and Kim were filmmakers and they started Green Our Planet. And it actually started here in Las Vegas.
It did.
But what's the scope of the program now? How has it grown over that past decade?
No pun intended. I love it. Every analogy, we're like, how has it grown? What's the impact? You know. So, but yeah, we currently are in almost 1,000 schools across the nation. So that's what's really good. It's a collaborative effort, right? We don't have the bandwidth to reach out. So we partner with a lot of people. Like Big Green is a prime example. They actually physically set up the gardens throughout the nation. We're in 46 different states right now. So Big Green is actually an amazing partner. It is Elon Musk's brother, Kimball. He has this foundation that actually goes in and sets up. We were in Savannah, Georgia, literally about a month ago, and they're setting up all these gardens in Georgia. And we went out there, and what we bring to the table is the curriculum. So they bring, you know, they build the gardens and everybody's excited, but we actually provide STEM curriculum to them. So, and then in Nevada itself, Latone, back into Nevada, we're in 235 schools in out of the 684 schools. Wow. In Nevada. So yeah, a lot of moving pieces. And what's amazing is we have the curriculum and we have the units, right? They're small little hydroponics. You can get it, you know, like you see at Amazon, but it really starts our curriculum K through 12. It doesn't leave anybody out of the process. Even the kindergartners are, we were just literally at Wynn Elementary with Tom Vilisak, the Secretary of Ag, a couple of days ago, and he was talking food, nutrition, farm to school. But the teacher there, she's a kindergarten teacher. She's K through five, 684 students. But my point is the kindergartens were learning seed structure and germination and all that stuff. And the Secretary of Ag, Tom Vilisak, he was like, are you kidding me? These kids are knowing this at this stage in their life. I remember that maybe in high school. So he was really impressed with our curriculum. But what's super amazing about it, too, is you can pick what you want from it. And it just cross-pollinates all portions of school. For example, a middle school here in northern Nevada actually has a curriculum in like 12 different classes, like from math to culinary to, and it fits all those pieces of the puzzle. So it's a real flexible program and people get really excited, and teachers and administrators, to help get the information they already need to know out to the students. But guess what? That it's building those communities. And for example, like a couple of schools I know in Clark County, they're literally K through 12 and students go through the K-5 program and then they hop in and then all of a sudden they're, oh, I remember that Green Our Planet. So it's all relative to them at that point. So it's amazing to see how it's spreading and we're super excited about it. Yeah, at Green Our Planet.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so with 1,000 schools across the nation and almost 300 of those here in Nevada, how do you choose the schools that get a Green Our Planet program?
Perfect. Great question. So typically, it just depends. We're very fortunate, like in Nevada, I'll expand upon that through ARPA funding. Joe Lombardo was like, I want education to be the forefront of Nevada. We're going to go ahead and support that. So that's kind of that type of funding. And then we're a nonprofit. So we definitely have to search out, you know, some funding mechanisms through our collaboration with Big Green, and that they help support the schools and match funding. So there's a lot of, we're going to have a big night out for foundation and fundraisers. And I know Tesla's helped us out, as well as MGM, a lot of other key sponsorship, because it's value added for them. These future business people, career path readiness, a lot of the state programs and stuff are supporting it as well. So It's a big collaboration, to answer your question, for funding. And we work really hard to work with other groups that are aligned to us for that support, if that makes sense.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the kids selling the produce that they grow. So tell us more about the Giant Student Farmers Market, where they get to sell that produce that they grew.
Absolutely. So the kids are super excited. Plus, you know, they have different themes. That's the creativeness to it. So they're basically K through five. Kindergarten, they're starting, they're learning, you know, first grade, oh, this is exciting. And they see this farmer's market, you know, and it's like that carrot. They're looking forward to that. At fifth grade, then is their final phase, right, of financial. They plan, they've been growing, they've get their permit through the Nevada Department of Ag, which they're amazing, right? It's a their producer certificate. So it just enables them to sell. So they see kind of that commerce kind of perspective. And then once they put it all together, they have a business plan. It's not just like, we want to grow lettuce. Trust me, there's a lot of lettuce there, but we love it. They've been growing a lot of lettuce, but other vegetables and different stuff like that. So they put a business plan together. You know, what's cost effective? How much time is going to go through that? And each group, there's going to be 58 schools from Las Vegas coming together. And that's a lot of moving pieces that control chaos. I alluded to this talking about. But yeah. Our team is amazing. We have like 100 volunteers throughout the community. Once again, it's all community connected, right? The communities come together and they support the schools. And we have culinary people too that come in last year from a lot of the, you know, sphere and different eateries and stuff, because they respect that farm to table. But they really respect it when the kids are there and they're selling. And it's kind of their graduation, if you will, this whole farmer's market, once they get it all done, to farmpreneurs. That's kind of our terminology is farmers, entrepreneurs, farmpreneurs. And it's like the amazing finish line for these kids to get together and really showcase their products and be proud of what they have. Those are the amazing things to the farmer's market. It's just a culmination of empowering the kids and the schools to give them the freedom of, okay, what direction do we want to be self-sustaining? And the kids are unbeknownst to this. They're selling, they're marketing, they're, you know, they have the community connection and they're out there selling. It's a wonderful time. And hopefully you guys can make it. That would be great.
Yeah, for sure. So how many of these Giant Student Farmers Markets do you hold each year?
So that's our plan. We do one in the spring and one in the fall in Vegas. I live up here in Northern Nevada. We're going to have one in the spring. But the plan is it's just going to blossom. We would love, I mean, down the road to have a national farmer's market. Like, hey, it's Ag Day. We're going to all come together and do a farmer's market because our curriculum is a virtual academy. So then we can make it virtual and just have that big culmination of a school's market. So that's what we're trying to do. And that's our overall goal. But to answer your question, in Vegas, we have a spring and a fall. In Northern Nevada, with weather, we will have just that one spring.
Okay, so the spring one in Las Vegas is coming up for Earth Day. Where is that being held?
So that's going to be April 19th. So they had it indoor at one point. It's exploded. So now they're doing downtown Summerlin on the lawn. They'll have 500 students there. Tents, we'll have live music. We got the mariachi band that's coming. And then we just want to open a little bit more so it's not real confined. The kids are up and about. They're selling. It is amazing. It's like, it reminds me of going to a baseball game, you know, the hot dog stands. But the kids are so engaged. Hey, we got better turnips over here. We got better. You know, the camaraderie is amazing. But so that'll be, to answer your question, April 19th, it'll be downtown Summerlin, right in the lawn there.
And what time?
It is 9:30 to 12:30. So come check it out. Like I said, let's get the word out. It's always amazing. The kids usually sell out of all their stuff. So I'm plugging it, get there a little earlier. But yeah, it's a great time. And I'm just super excited with Green Our Planet, what they're doing across the nation and really seeing the impact. You know, I mean, we have a school that's in Alaska. I mean, it's way up there. A very small village, and the school is literally providing for the village. Otherwise, they would never get lettuce or vegetables or anything like that. That's the impact we're doing, and we're teaching people how to do that and empower themselves for what they need. And let's face it, like I said, Vegas, we're in a food desert. It's tough to get food, even in North Las Vegas. You know, talking to Marilyn Kirkpatrick, we're working on some projects there with her, and just amazing what nonprofits are doing to really support a community engagement piece. So, and we're all collaborating together and supporting the cause for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so where can people go if they want to find out more about Green Our Planet in general, the various activities that you're doing? Maybe they want to get involved somehow, or find out more about the Earth Day Giant Student Farmers Market coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So greenourplanet.org, and we're always currently updating that. It's a really user-friendly website. Facebook, LinkedIn, we're on, what is it, X? All of the social media were there. But yeah, if a teacher wants to know and get involved with this opportunity, I mean, it's up in a couple months to get a free HydroConnect program, please reach out. They can reach out to me directly, woody.worthington@greenourplanet.org. They can reach out to me, or like I said, go to our website and connect up. And we always have events and stuff up there, and we're working with various people wherever we're at. So we've been collaborating on that with other partners, community partners.
Awesome. So once again, the website to go to, greenourplanet.org. You can find out more information about what Green Our Planet does. If you want to connect with Woody, if you're a teacher and you're interested in the programs coming up, go ahead and send him an email, woody.worthington@greenourplanet.org. You can also find them on social media. The Facebook page, facebook.com/greenourplanet, has all the information about the upcoming Giant Student Farmers Market as well. You can see the digital flyer there, and that will be happening. The Earth Day installment, the Spring Giant Student Farmers Market, is happening on Friday, April 19th, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the lawn at downtown Summerlin. And as Woody mentioned, the kids sell out of their produce early, so make sure you get there in the early part of the morning. So it's 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. but don't wait till noon to go, because the good stuff is going to be gone. And we've been speaking today with Woody Worthington. He's the Director of National Partnerships for Green Our Planet. And Woody, it's been great talking to you and finding out more about what Green Our Planet is doing, how you're growing over the years, how the program is getting bigger and better, and especially how the kids are learning important stuff. So they learn how to grow the products, they learn how to sell and price and market, and you see it come to life at the Giant Student Farmers Market. So Woody, I want to thank you so much for being here today and sharing your time with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Heather.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Melissa Cipriano, Executive Director of the Children's Heart Foundation. And it's that time of year again. The organization has its 21st annual Walk with the Heart of a Child coming up. Melissa, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who aren't familiar with the organization, what does the Children's Heart Foundation do?
The Children's Heart Foundation has been in our community and the state of Nevada for more than 20 years. And we help families that have children born with congenital heart disease through medical crisis, through quality of life programs that we offer. And we do that with financial assistance and programs that are aimed to help families get through their medical crisis with their child.
Okay. And how common is it for a child to be born with a congenital heart defect?
It's actually more common than what people realize until, you know, they have a child that's born with a CHD. One out of every 100 babies born in the United States is born with some form of a congenital heart defect, which equates to about 40,000 children per year. And those numbers are quite staggering because, you know, it's a lifelong disease. There's no cure. So frequent visits to their cardiologist, annual checkups. Sometimes some patients have to go every 6 months, every month, every week. It just depends how, you know, how severe their CHD is. And so the foundation, we pride ourselves in helping those families with finding resources. We're a great resource for them when they need help with financial assistance. We have a summer camp program that we offer heart patients ages 7 to 17. We have a scholarship program. We also help those families during the holidays. So if a child's been hospitalized throughout a calendar year, you know, finances are really tight for a lot of these families with all the medical bills and time loss from work. So we help those families at Thanksgiving and also at the holidays.
Wow. Yeah, you've always got so many amazing programs and events going on. Now, speaking of that, tell us about the 21st annual Walk with the Heart of a Child that's coming up on April 20th.
It is one of our biggest fundraisers of the year because everything that we provide for our heart families doesn't come cheap. And so we have to raise those dollars in our community. But it also brings together our heart community and it brings together those families so they can meet one another and hopefully lean on one another because they're going through similar circumstances. So we encourage all of our heart families to form a team and help fundraise to, you know, create awareness in our community for CHDs and just to be together. And so this event is one of our biggest that we do each year. And it's a fun family event. We've got carnival games. We're going to have food trucks. We're going to have all the characters out there and all the mascots, a lot of music. And it's just going to be a fun morning.
Awesome. What are some of the vendors and community partners that will be there on that day?
Sure. We've got several. Okay. Well, our presenting sponsor, Fox 5 and Subaru of Las Vegas, will be out there. The Children's Heart Center, which is the medical clinic that all the heart families are patients at. Intermountain Health is going to be there. Resorts World, U.S. Anesthesia Partners, Carousel Pediatrics, Lexicon Bank, Sunrise Children's Hospital. We've also got the talents of Mr. Camera. They're going to be out there filming, so we're going to get some great footage of our walk. And we couldn't do it without our community partners, like Medic West. They provide all of our emergency assistance. And the LVMPPO, which is the Police Officers Union with Metro. And then Pepsi provides all the water.
Awesome. So how exactly do participants raise funds through the Walk with the Heart of a Child?
It's really easy. They can form a team and they go onto our website to do that. And they can either join a team or form their own team. And the platform that we use is really easy to use. Once they form that team, it allows them to forward a special link to their constituents, their friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, et cetera. And it gives them a space to tell their story and to tell people why they're raising funds for Children's Heart Foundation. And they forward that link. And hopefully, you know, their friends, family, coworkers, et cetera, will jump on board and make a contribution.
Nice. Okay. Now, what specifically do the funds raised go towards supporting?
Several of our programs. Our biggest is our financial assistance. So when a family is in a medical crisis, there is a need for help with either utilities, rent, or mortgage. A lot of our families also have to travel. The Reno patients have to come down to Las Vegas. So we assist with gas cards and we partner with the Ronald McDonald House to get them their lodging. But a lot of times the house is full and if they don't have space, we will help pay for lodging at a local hotel. And we also provide grocery store gift cards. We also provide medical necessities. So if there is, for example, a baby that has to go on a special formula, the formula that they have to go on is usually anywhere between $65 and $75 a can. Wow. And when they get released from the hospital, you know, that's a big cost to the family. So we'll help pay for things like that. AED machines for certain patients that need it in their home, any medical devices or prescriptions that aren't covered by insurance, we've also been able to help. So the dollars go a long way. It's just everything we do as a foundation, we do by the donated dollar. We rely on our community, on the generosity of our donors to come through for our heart families. And we just could not be more grateful, especially all the sponsors that are helping us through this walk and all of the families that are fundraising on behalf of our littlest hearts in our community.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you tell us a little bit more about Camp Mend a Heart?
Sure. That's one of my favorite programs. I love Camp Mend a Heart. I've been doing camps of some sort for the last going on, gosh, I think 15 years now. And they've both been medically supervised camps. And, you know, when you've got a child that has a severe heart condition, it's difficult to send them away because, you know, those parents will always have that wonder and worry. You know, are they taking care of their medical needs? Do they know how to handle a heart patient? And that's why Camp Mend a Heart is so important for these families is because we do staff our camp with a full medical team. We have a cardiologist that will be there. We actually have two doctors that will be there, a nurse practitioner and three nurses. And we make sure that we have all of the resources if a medical emergency would arise with the heart patient. And we take great pride in making sure everybody is prepared so our families can entrust us with their most precious gift of, you know, of their child. And they're entrusting us in giving their child to us for a week so they can experience camp as they should. There's no questions asked. Everybody feels belonging. It's a safe place for our campers. And, you know, everybody that goes to camp has been affected by CHDs, and the kids get it. And it's just an exciting time. They make new friends, they learn new things, and they challenge themselves. It's, you know, kind of like a challenge by choice. If they don't want to do something, they don't have to. We don't force them to do it. But if they want to give it a try, they have a complete team of volunteers that are cheering them on.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right. So how can people find out more about the Children's Heart Foundation in general, what you do, the various events going on all year, or sign up to form a team or take part in the Walk with the Heart of a Child?
It's super easy. Just go to our website, chfn.org. Under events is our fundraising events. And then what we do under that tab, that gives the information of the programs that we provide for the families and some resources that we also provide on the website, as well as more information on how people can volunteer for camp. If there's people listening that have their own child that has a congenital heart defect and they're a patient at the Children's Heart Center, please give us a call. We want to hear from you, and we want to, you know, have you join our mailing list so your child doesn't, you know, miss out on the camp opportunity. Or we have a scholarship program as well. So we want to connect with those families.
Okay, awesome. Now tell us once again, when and where is the Walk with the Heart of a Child taking place?
Sure. It's April 20th. It's a Saturday morning. Registration opens at 9 a.m. The event will last probably till about noon, and it's at Craig Ranch Regional Park.
Okay, nice. So once again, the website to go to for all that information is chfn.org. It stands for Children's Heart Foundation Nevada, chfn.org. You can find out more about what the Children's Heart Foundation does, or you can sign up to take part in the Walk with the Heart of a Child. And once again, the 21st annual Walk with the Heart of a Child is coming up on Saturday, April 20th at Craig Ranch Regional Park. Starts with 9 a.m. registration, then the walk, the opening ceremonies, and the closing ceremonies, and it's all done by around noon. So once again, chfn.org. And we've been speaking today with Melissa Cipriano. She's the executive director of the Children's Heart Foundation. And Melissa, it's always great talking to you. And thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about what the foundation is doing in the community and this annual walk that you have coming up that people can take part in. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Heather, for having us and letting us, you know, get the word out. And hopefully we're going to get lots of registrations.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children worldwide grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and safe. And that means safe at home, at school, and online. Child Fund, because we need each other.
Learn more at childfund.org.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Michelle Alvarez, manager of IBM X-Force's Strategic Threat Intelligence Team. There's been a recent spike in cyber attacks, with billions of compromised credentials becoming accessible on the dark web. Michelle, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Heather. I'm happy to be here.
So what is IBM X-Force?
So IBM X-Force is essentially IBM's security threat intelligence arm. We're a global team of hackers, researchers, analysts, and incident responders. And basically what we do is we protect our clients' environments, and we also share cyber threats to the greater security community and users of the internet, basically.
Okay. Now, why have there been more cyber attacks recently?
Well, what we're focused on in this report is a significant increase in the use of valid credentials, or basically username and password combinations, to log in versus hack into accounts. And so, you know, what we're seeing is that basically because we have so many online accounts these days, right? There's so many accounts, and maybe we don't even remember all of the accounts that we have. And to a great extent, we're reusing the same username password combinations across many of these accounts. And so when a breach happens, You get an email notification that your username and password was compromised, and you may not even know where else you've used that password username combination against other accounts. And all of this information, all of these credentials just basically end up on the dark web. Cyber criminals can purchase thousands of credentials for maybe just $10, and they can leverage those credentials against many accounts where those password usernames were used as well. So the more and more that identity is exposed, basically, the more irreversible it is, right? You can't call up a customer service line in the dark web and ask for your credentials to be deleted from an illicit marketplace. And attackers are wagering on this, and they're leveraging these credentials to log in.
Okay, so does this primarily happen through phishing, where we're accidentally, inadvertently typing in our password and giving it to the hacker? Or are there other ways that cyber criminals are attacking and stealing our online identities?
Right. So, you know, the first way is sort of what I mentioned, right? We already have billions of username password combinations readily available for attackers to purchase for a very small price to then log in. Another way, and then something else that we're seeing that's quite alarming, is we saw a significant increase in the use of info stealing malware. In fact, we saw a 266% increase in info stealing malware. And this is basically malware that steals information, right? And to include credentials for your banking, social media, email, etc. Yes, and to your point, you know, an attacker might send a phishing email, a user unwittingly clicks on a link or downloads an attachment, and then info stealing malware executes. And the bad guys are becoming much more resourceful because they really see the ROI in these tactics. And one set of credentials that might give them access to multiple types of accounts simply by logging into those accounts, that doesn't immediately trigger an alert, right? It allows them to be very stealthy in the environment to then exfiltrate more data.
Okay. Now, how will AI impact these attacks for better or worse?
Right. So that's a great question. So AI will definitely impact, you know, cyber threat landscape for the worse, right? Businesses are using it for legitimate purposes to improve their processes and operations. Well, we see time and time again with any new technology, attackers also leverage that same technology for bad, right? So they will use AI to scale identity-based attacks and allow them to be much more targeted. So, you know, maybe think of it this way. They can use AI in a very similar way that marketers use it for customer acquisition. So attackers can use AI to optimize their target acquisition, basically bringing to the very top of their list the targets that will most likely be compromised. And we've definitely seen a lot of interest around AI on the dark web. Attackers are discussing it. We saw over 800,000 posts around AI on the dark web last year. They see the value in it, and we really expect to see this manifest into real threats this year.
Okay. Now, what happens? What are the repercussions when people steal our credentials or even our complete identities?
Well, certainly they can continue to leverage those credentials against other accounts and steal more information. You know, they might have your credentials and then will be able to glean additional sensitive information and commit identity fraud. So there's a number of things that attackers can do with your information, to include sell it for profit. So the end game is always, for cyber criminals, extortion, right? How can they add to their bottom line? They are profit motivated. So ultimately, whatever can get them an additional ROI, that's where they're going to go.
Okay. So how can we protect our online identity from these attacks or data thefts?
Absolutely. So, you know, first, I think it's important to understand what's at stake. Your passwords are essentially a gatekeeper to the digital version of your wallet. So Heather, if you think about what's in your wallet, right, you have all your IDs, banking, medical, insurance. And so your online accounts are basically the digitized versions of all of these IDs, and your passwords are what protect it. So first and foremost, let's practice good password hygiene. Let's have unique passwords across all of our accounts, because attackers are leveraging and banking on the fact that you're reusing your passwords across your accounts. Let's set reminders for ourselves. You know, maybe every 3 to 6 months, we're resetting our passwords. And also, I mentioned there's so many online accounts now. We really need to take stock, take inventory of how many accounts we have, so that we know when we get that notification that of a breach, okay, we can say, okay, let's just be on the safe side. Let's reset these passwords so that I can take that extra step in protecting my identity. And finally, multi-factor authentication, MFA, is so important. It's, you know, that extra layer of protection where, you know, code goes to your phone, 2 steps to be able to log in. It's really important because this acts as a roadblock. And what we're just trying to do here is make things hard for the attackers, right? Let's not make it easy for them, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to go through the path of least resistance. So the harder we can make it, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so where can our listeners go for more information?
Yeah, they can go to ibm.com/xforce. There's a lot of information out there, including our annual threat report and lots of other threats that they should be aware of.
Okay, awesome. So once again, ibm.com/xforce is the website to go to, ibm.com/xforce. You can access the annual threat report as well as a lot more information there. We've been speaking with Michelle Alvarez. She's the manager of IBM X-Force's Strategic Threat Intelligence Team. And Michelle, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing this important information with us today and some tips that people can use to protect themselves. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather. It's great to be here.
I just got a text asking me to approve a bank transfer I didn't make. I bet you get messages like this too. So much of our lives are online today, from email to banking and everything in between. To make sure my information was protected, I checked out CISA's Secure Our World website for simple steps to stay safe online. Now I know how to protect myself from scammers, and you can learn too. Go to CISA at cisa.gov/secureourworld.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation's 10th annual Munchies for the Military Care Package Donation Drive is happening through April 15th. Find the wish list and drop-off locations at inspirata.com under events. You can also volunteer to assemble the care packages on Saturday, April 20th at 1 p.m. at Liberty High School's lunchroom, or make a monetary donation at djgmf.org. That stands for Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation, djgmf.org. Miracle Flights is hosting the second annual Soaree fundraising event next Friday, April 12th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Thrive Aviation Private Jet Hangar. This event supports the organization's mission of helping children who need to travel for life-changing medical care. Find out more or get your tickets at miracleflights.org. That's miracleflights.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, April 15th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Farrar Foundation, and Monday, May 6th at 8 p.m. benefiting Shine a Light. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. Green Our Planet's Earth Day Giant Student Farmers Market is happening on Friday, April 19th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the lawn at downtown Summerlin. The student-run farmers market will feature produce grown from Clark County School District school gardens. Find out more at greenourplanet.org or facebook.com/greenourplanet. The 21st annual Walk with the Heart of a Child to support the Children's Heart Foundation is happening on Saturday, April 20th at Craig Ranch Regional Park with 9 a.m. registration and 10 a.m. walk. Vendors, community partner booths, Kids Zone, and food trucks will also be on site. Find out more or register to walk at chfn.org. That stands for Children's Heart Foundation Nevada, chfn.org. Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas is hosting their fourth annual Putt for Homes Golf Tournament on Monday, April 22nd with an 8 a.m. shotgun start at the Red Rock Country Club Mountain Course. Find out more or register to play at lasvegashabitat.org. That's lasvegashabitat.org. The nonprofit Signs of Hope, which stands for Healing, Options, Prevention, and Education, is marking their 50th anniversary with a Denim Day Gala on Wednesday, April 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Circa Resort and Casino. Find out more or get your tickets at sohlv.org. That stands for Signs of Hope, Las Vegas, sohlv.org. Make-A-Wish Southern Nevada is holding their 22nd annual Walk for Wishes fundraising event on World Wish Day, Saturday, April 27th, with 8 a.m. registration and the walk and run starting at 8:30 a.m. at Town Square. Sign up or find out more information at wish.org/snv/walk. That's wish.org/snv/walk. And Aid for AIDS of Nevada, or AFAN, is celebrating their 40th anniversary and hosting the 34th annual AIDS Walk Las Vegas on Sunday, April 28th at 9 a.m. at Las Vegas Ballpark. Register for the event or find out more at afanlv.org. That stands for Aid for AIDS of Nevada, Las Vegas, afanlv.org.